Welcome back to Racecast, everyone. This is officially the last Racecast of the year. We've got big plans for 2024. But what we're going to do just in the meantime is like an episode in December, which is this one.
Yep.
There hasn't been an episode in December. This is the episode in December. We're then going to have one in January and then one in February, where I believe pre-season testing is actually towards the end of February. So, you know, by which time we'll be coming back for March. And hopefully Mercedes have a brand new rocket ship ready for us for the new season. But yeah, we're just going to do a little recap of the year, sort of give you our thoughts. We're obviously keen to hear your thoughts, so make sure you do get in touch on social media, where we're extremely active now. So make sure you get involved. Just search Racecast on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok, where you'll find everything. We'll keep you up to date with the latest news, give you our thoughts on it as it's sort of coming out. But yeah, you're obviously listening to us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or some other form of audio platform. So thank you very much. Please make sure you give us a 5-star rating. It really does make a difference. We're at 4.7 on Spotify. What the hell is that about, right? Give us 5 stars right now if you are listening on Spotify, because it really does mean a lot to us. But yeah, not going to ramble anymore. Thanks for a good 2023. That's to you guys specifically. The F1 season was dreadful. So I'm going to go into New Year with a resolution of... Well, it's not a resolution, but my New Year's wish is going to be that we have a good Formula One season. Whether that includes Mercedes or not, hopefully. But so long as it includes some form of competition, God help us.
All right, guys, welcome along. Yeah, like you said, last episode, this year has flown by. Some weeks, don't get me wrong, some weeks we've come to this and we've, you know, we film on a Tuesday or we film on a Wednesday and we've gone, this is going to be a painful
some
episode.
Weeks, did we actually just skip? I feel like there must have been a few weeks where
what
the hell are we going to talk about?
Yeah, and there's weeks where we were just busy with work and stuff like that because Luke works a lot now. So
busy boy,
yeah, busy. And that's why we're filming on Wednesday, because you were busy yesterday. So welcome along. Let's get into some news with regards to the world of F1, which is exactly what this podcast is about. So Andrei Stella.
No, say his name again.
Andrei Stella. Andrei. Andrea Stella. There we go. Been a long week. Has picked his top three drivers on the grid currently.
Yeah, I saw this bullshit, but I'll let you finish.
Yep. So interestingly, Lewis Hamilton was not in that top three. Can you guess? Well, you from the sound of it already know, but can you tell me the three drivers who he thinks are the best drivers on the grid currently?
Yeah, well, he picked Max Verstappen.
Yep.
Great answer. That makes complete sense, obviously.
He's current world champion.
Yeah, dominated the season, you know, in a very dominant car, but he absolutely outclassed his teammate.
Yeah.
Charles Leclerc. Yeah, very, very good driver.
Well, you're wrong. It wasn't Charles Leclerc.
Was it not?
Nope.
Oh, he said Fernando Alonso.
So.
And Lando Norris.
So he said Max Verstappen, Lando Norris, and Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, so Lando Norris is obviously, I get it, he's your driver, you've got to keep up the PR.
Well, do you know what he said about him? So he said, Lando is already one of the best drivers on the grid. He is very fast, very good in the race with tyre management. When I think about Lando, I think that if the team and I gave him a good car, he would be able to fight for the championship. When we talk about being the most complete, I definitely think of Fernando Alonso. He basically has no weaknesses. I think this makes him unique. He is not the best in many. He is not the best in many things, but he is very strong in all of them. I think that in Oscar, I see him a powerful mind. On the other hand, Lando, I think his development as a driver will make him so complete. He reminds me a little of Fernando. I mean,
Fernando Alonso the benchmark in F1 now? I remember Fernando Alonso back in like 2005, 2006, where he was like, you know, unbelievable. But he's never gone on to reach those heights again.
No.
And now that's where you look at the likes of Lewis Hamilton, where the guy has done it his whole career. And, you know, I think we're starting to see that with Max Verstappen, where even though prior to 2021 he didn't have a championship winning car, he still really looked like the second fastest person on the grid, like decisively.
Yep.
Lando Norris has never looked like... Lando Norris has always looked like a quick driver. Has he ever looked like one of the quickest drivers on the grid? I don't think so. And that may well be down to the car.
Mm.
But we've already been through this. He's had opportunities to win. And he hasn't. He threw Russia away due to a lack of experience. And, you know, if he really wanted to win, he could have won in Monza.
Yeah.
Oscar Piastri has won a sprint race in this McLaren.
Danny Ric won a race in that McLaren.
Yeah, so...
Well, not this McLaren, last year.
Well, 2021.
2021.
It's just... Yeah, you know, this goes back to our point of... People blow a lot of smoke up Lando's arse for a driver that hasn't actually achieved anything yet. Yeah. And I think... He's undeniably, what we said, a very good driver. Yeah, one of the best on the grid. But we said there's a distinction between the very good drivers and the great drivers.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. But, like, to leave Lewis Hamilton out of that list, I think is... You know, if he had said Max, Lewis and Fernando, yeah, that probably makes sense.
Yeah.
I know, even I still stand by the fact that I think Fernando is sneaking onto that list because he's been subpar for many, many, many years.
Mm. And for me, Max was an easy one. I agree with you in the sense of Lando. I don't know how you can be classed as a great driver. Like what Stella's saying here, I don't see it. He's been in F1 quite a while now, over 100 odd races, no race win. We've seen him look very lackluster in regards to his defense against other drivers, and actually, he's come on a lot this year, don't get me wrong, but he's still lacking that killer instinct to actually go on and make a name for himself with regards to wins and championships.
Yeah, and like...
Granted, you need the car for that. I do agree with that.
Yeah, but I just don't want to hear that on the basis of... Well, okay, yeah, circumstantially, sometimes you need things to go your way, but when that opportunity comes, you need to take it. He's had that opportunity. Mm. Pierre Gasly has a win in F1. Esteban Ocon has a win in F1.
Yeah.
You know, they've never had a car that should be winning, but the opportunity arose, they took it, and they won.
And I would say Ocon had a tougher battle in that Hungarian win because he's being chased down by a four-time world champion, Sebastian Vettel.
Yeah.
So he had to tire manage. He had to manage that gap the whole race. And it was a superb win for Ocon.
But then, if you want to spin it that way, you could say, well, Lando had a really tough time in Russia because he had Lewis Hamilton on his ass, 7-time world champion.
Yeah.
In a Mercedes spaceship.
Yeah.
But
that McLaren was a better car than the Alpine.
Yeah, true. But that Mercedes was a much better car than that Aston Martin.
Yeah.
But he had the opportunity in Monza. Stand by it. Like, no winner. Max Verstappen. Right. If he's in Lando's shoes there, is he staying behind Danny Ric?
100% not.
No chance. No. And this is where I say it. I just don't think he has the killer instinct. And I don't care what you little TikTok schmucks say. If you think you know better, fair enough. You might. I'm not saying I'm 100% right. But my opinion is that he has not done anything to prove to us as F1 fans that he is a future world champion, other than the fact he did some streaming, so he's good for Gen Z. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, for me, and look, Lando's a British driver, so if he became successful, I'd be happy for him. And if he is capable of challenging Max, brilliant, because someone needs to right now. Am I going to put my money on him to be the one to do it? No.
Do you know, it's interesting. So the other day I watched a couple of clips of Lando Norris with a stream. He was doing some Fortnite stuff and he was playing with other YouTubers, all of that stuff. And I saw a couple of clips. And do you know what? For the first time in a long time, I was like, I quite like it. But when it comes to F1, and we've discussed this before, there's an arrogance, and I think you need it to a certain extent, but there's quite a lot of arrogance about Lando Norris around the F1 scene. But you take him out, and he actually seems like a real down-to-earth, nice guy.
Yeah, but the thing is that it's probably the same with
Lewis.
It's with a lot of drivers, yeah. And the one thing, the only thing I don't like about the arrogance is he's never done anything to back it up.
Yeah.
You know, it's like when you're playing football, another football analogy, and the shit kid on the team shouts at you and tells you what to do. Or the fat one tells you to run. And you just think, how does that make sense?
You used to be the shit kid, didn't you? No. Well, you actually are still on the team.
I was the good kid and I was never the fat kid. But do you know what I mean? You just think, the audacity to speak about that stuff. And yeah, granted, you need some form of arrogance, but I stand by the fact that I think there's too much smoke being blown up his ass.
Mm. Yeah, true. Let us know what your thoughts are. In other news, Max Verstappen appreciates but doesn't miss the F1 rivalry with Lewis Hamilton. So Max Verstappen was asked, you know, about, you know, this year and how that compares to other seasons. And basically he said, no, I am satisfied with how this season has gone. And I sure appreciate the battles we have once had in the 21 season. But now I especially appreciate the successes that we can celebrate as a team. Verstappen was then questioned about Hamilton's win drought. He replied, I did it too. No, wait, that's not true. I was able to win from time to time. Well, such periods can happen, but I prefer not to think about it because they eat up the necessary energies in you. I don't know if that was a bit of a dig, but...
Nah, I mean, look, come on. This season was not about Lewis Hamilton not being able to win.
No.
Absolutely no one else could win. Okay, for whatever reason, we had this freak incident in Singapore where the Red Bull, for whatever reason, was just unable to click. But that was the anomaly. Do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't the fact that Red Bull won, I don't know what, 22 out of 23 races, whatever the fuck it was. That wasn't the strange thing in the season, because that car was so much better than everything else. The strange part was that they didn't win every single race. So Lewis Hamilton to not win this season is nothing to do with him being Lewis Hamilton and not winning. It's to do with the fact that Red Bull was so insane. And I'm not surprised Max doesn't miss it, because he probably spent 200 out of 250 days of the F1 season crying. Or maybe begging Michael Massey to give him a championship and maybe just let the lapped cars in between him and Lewis unlap themselves so they could have just one more lap of racing.
Can you believe it was 2 years, was it yesterday?
Yeah, something like that.
The Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, the robbery happened. Yeah, we're not over it.
No, I don't think anyone should. As like a sporting fan, how can you get over that?
I still find when I was reading it yesterday, I think it was, and I was watching some of the comments and I was re-watching some of the things, it triggers me beyond belief. And I have never had anything in my life that 2 years later, I'm still triggered about.
Yeah, look, it was...
With regards to sporting events and stuff.
It was fucked up, that whole thing. And, you know, so yeah, I'm not surprised Max doesn't miss the rivalry with Lewis, because he tried to run him down to Rio Beach into Lagos. In Saudi, he tried to murder him, I think, 4 times. I'm surprised he's not in prison. And then come to Abu Dhabi, and the FIA have to intervene and win him the championship for him. But interesting this, right? I actually saw a tweet on this, and whether you agree with this or not, I'm just relaying the story, but let us know. Someone said it wasn't Lewis Hamilton robbed that day. It was Max Verstappen. Now, what did we have? We had like 57 laps or something, was it?
Yeah.
So he was showing, you know, you get all the notifications, like, I don't know if you've ever looked at Multiviewer or something, but like where you get all race control notifications. And it was that, like, the notification was something along the lines of track all clear, and it was lap 54.
Yeah.
So he was like, it wasn't Lewis Hamilton that was robbed. It was Max Verstappen who was robbed of a fair and legitimate win. As in, lap 54, it's clear. They could have got all the cars to unlap themselves if they acted quickly.
Mm.
And we then could have had one, two laps of actual racing. Probably more like one.
Yeah.
But it would have been legitimate because all the cars would have unlapped themselves. If all the cars could have unlapped themselves, right, in time for one more lap, it would be very hard for us as Mercedes fans to sit here and argue that that was an illegitimate win. It was just, it would have just been extremely unfortunate. Yeah. And, but sometimes that is just the way the cookie crumbles, especially in this sport.
Well, I always said, because I've had people go to me, okay, well, if the roles were reversed, you'd be delighted. And I'm like, okay, this isn't, for me, this isn't about, it's fairness. All of this comes down to fairness.
And it's like, obviously we'd be delighted. Yeah. He would have won.
But my point is, if they had red flagged it or whatever, or they both managed to go onto the same tyres and it was fair, and Max Verstappen went on to win it, I'd be like, do you know what? There's nothing else we could... There's nothing there.
Yeah, because that shit happens in racing.
And... But this is where I'm going to go on to this one, because obviously Red Bull team principal Christian Horner...
Wait, just quickly, but before you move on to that point, right? I just want to say, when people say, oh, you'd still celebrate Lewis winning, it's true. But think of it this way, right? If you win that fairly, it's so rewarding, right? Yeah. It's like, I mean, you never had this, but I obviously have an older brother who... back in the day would beat me at everything. Like if we were playing games, he'd beat me, right? If I ever beat him at anything, then it was like the best feeling in the world. But if I knew that he had let me win, that would that wouldn't have the same effect.
No. Yeah.
And I know that it's like Lewis hasn't let Max win, but he's been like given that opportunity to win. And I don't care. It might mean the absolute world to him that he won that first world championship, and he might not care that it was won in that way, but I'll always look at it as a dodgy win.
Oh, it is a dodgy win. Do you watch League of Their Own?
I saw the Christian Horner on it.
So it's interesting. This goes on. This is continuing this topic, basically. So Red Bull team principal Christian Horner says, Mercedes simply fucked up on the day Lewis Hamilton lost the F1 World Championship to Max Verstappen at the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix.
It's just not true, though,
it's not true. So... Horner said, Mercedes fucked up. They left poor Lewis out there on tyres that had done pretty much most of the race, and we pitted Matt with Max. So he was on fresh set of tyres. Max made the move and went on to win. This is what I don't understand. They didn't muck up. If, for example, and this is...
They didn't have the gap.
They didn't...
If Lewis pitted, right, he would have lost track position.
They would have kept Max out...
Max would have stayed out, so now he's P1.
Yeah.
And you can guarantee that the lapped cars between Lewis and Max would not have been allowed to overtake.
And the race would have finished how it was.
Would have finished behind a safety car. Christian Horner would have come out and been like, well, Mercedes simply fucked up.
Yeah.
they brought poor Lewis in and he lost track position.
There was no win. There was no win in there for Mercedes with that decision.
That's pushing a bullshit narrative.
And that is literally just him triggering it.
You know what pissed me off, actually, about A League of Their Own?
Are you going to say Michael Richards?
The fact that no one challenged him?
Yeah. This is what is interesting. So Michael Richards is a Mercedes fan. He's a Lewis Hamilton fan. And watching that, right, I was so surprised how everyone was basically up Horner's arse going... Oh, yeah. And I'm like, I know Jamie Redknapp said something later on in the show, which was like a little dig. But I was really surprised. Like, if I was in that situation, that would have been like the perfect opportunity to go, well, as a Mercedes fan, you challenge.
Yeah, but not even that, right? a comedian in Ramesh Raghunathan sitting there didn't even crack a joke about it. And it got me thinking, like, I bet they were told not to say anything.
Yeah.
So Christian Horner can come on there and laugh and be like, oh, Mercedes fucked up and pushed this, like, bullshit narrative. But he 100% had his boys speaking to production saying, if anyone says anything, if anyone makes any jokes about Abu Dhabi 21...
I'm going to set Jerry on them.
Yeah, but we're not coming back. So...
I'd love them to have Toto on.
I bet their whole dynamic would shift.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%.
But, yeah, do you know what I mean? Like, so no, I wasn't having that. I wasn't impressed with... the, I don't know what you call them, the regular cast.
Yeah.
Not challenging anything. Not even making, like, a proper joke about it.
Yeah.
Just, like, you know, because you've seen Ramesh say, like, things to people, and they rip into each other, like, relentlessly. Even guests, like, get ripped into.
Yeah.
And then nothing on the biggest, arguably the biggest robbery we've ever seen in elite-level sport.
Yeah. And if you haven't seen it, go and watch it.
Yeah, if you're a Mercedes fan, don't bother, because all you get is Christian Horner there just...
But then that's why, like, Michael Richards, I was really hoping he would go, you know, because he was like, oh, Hamilton's my boy and all of this stuff. And there was nothing. Like, he didn't even say anything about it.
Yeah, but he's probably not, is he? Let's be honest. Does Lewis Hamilton know who Michael Richards is?
Well, I don't care, but... I don't know who Lewis Hamilton is. I've never met him. But if I was on that show, I would be going back to Horner going, whoa, that's not true. They could never... I would have just gone in.
But I told you, they were told they can't do that. Yeah. 100%.
I would have ignored it.
There's no way Christian went on that show and didn't have his team say to the production team that no one's allowed to joke about Abu Dhabi.
All I know is 2 years later, I'm still triggered. So if I was on that show and I was a panel or a host... I'd be saying something.
Should I tell you why it doesn't matter that you're triggered? Because
it's almost Christmas.
We're getting a win next season.
Oh, stop! No, I'm not doing this, Luke. I'm not doing this.
The W13 and the W14's Zero Pod design impacted Mercedes gearbox design.
No shit.
Causing it to be heavy and therefore draggy.
Yeah.
The W15, the new car, will have a very different, much more traditional chassis. What did I say? Chassis. And a more smaller gearbox. I think we could have just said smaller.
Yeah.
Reducing the car's overall drag. So, what that means is that number 8 is coming next year.
And you know why? Because you know who we have back.
Who?
You know who Mercedes have back in the team.
What? James Allison?
Yes.
I also actually saw that Mercedes have poached a few high-level members of staff, one of them being from Red Bull. I'm going to find this. I've got it, right. According to Build, so this is a rumour, it's not 100%.
Build.
B-I-L-D.
Oh, I thought it was like, who's Bill?
No. Yeah, reliable source, that guy. Mercedes has poached two engineers from Red Bull. Oh, they were both from Red Bull. For some reason, I thought one was from Aston Martin. But yeah, both from Red Bull. Both Dynamics Chief, Mark Ellis, and Simulation Boss, Giles Wood. Now, important for two reasons, right? Aerodynamics.
Need that.
We do need that because, you know, that's been a huge problem for this Mercedes. And we know that the car... ground effect. So Red Bull have also nailed it. So taking, you know, dynamics chief, whatever that is, can't be a bad thing, surely, from Red Bull, the team that's smashing it. But Mercedes have had huge discrepancies in their sims, haven't they? Like, particularly 2022, that was a big problem. The sim was showing that they were really fast at tracks, and then they were turning up and they were shit.
Yeah.
So again,
unlike BAR back in the day when their sim showed that they were like at a certain pace and they turn up to track and like 2 seconds quicker.
Are you talking about Braun?
Braun, that's what I mean, not BAR. Braun.
Man, long day for you.
It has been a long day.
Long life, I think. But yeah, so that's interesting. You know, there's a lot of people in that team. We saw in the Braun documentary, right? If you've watched the Braun documentary, you'll see that there are a lot of people still in that team from the Braun era.
Yeah.
And maybe it is time that you start refreshing. You know, we've dominated for 8 years. Mercedes dominated. You know, maybe it is time to start bringing some fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And I know personnel changes happen all the time, but like high level, if you think about it, like James Vowles was there when Braun were there.
Yeah.
Mike Elliott was at Braun. There are like, and I know James Vowles has left now, but like high level people that have been there and now only now we're seeing the turnover.
Yeah.
And I think it's that thing of this is why it's important to keep refreshing when you're on top.
That keeps you on top.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No, and I think when you look at Mercedes, when some teams are very, when you're successful, you know, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And I think off sudden, very quickly, it broke and they weren't fixing it.
Yeah.
Obviously, losing James Allison as well and Vowles was a big loss.
Well, yeah, James Vowles was... not James Vowles. James Allison was... Was he working on a boat or something?
Yeah, well, he left on the 21 season. So when he came into the 22 season, we had Mike Elliott. Wasn't it? Because...
Yeah, well, who worked on that 2022 car? Better have not been James Allison. whoever worked on that 2022 car, they better be gone now. We're obviously led to believe it was Mike Elliott. Fingers crossed it was.
It was so bad. Gone. It was so bad.
But yeah.
How have we... This is always a funny thing, because I got asked the other day, like, oh, how long have you done the podcast for? And obviously this is our second season.
Mm-hmm.
And how have we gone into the worst seasons
possible? Well, yeah, but I mean, look at the last lap, the podcast.
Yeah.
No, similarly to us, they start. I actually remember speaking to Chipper about this at Wembley, where he was saying they were starting it up and everything. And this was, I'm trying to think when we went. I want to say it was late 21. 22, coming off the back of like a really, really, really good season, like incomparable, where everyone was like on the absolute top of the F1 mountain. And then it's been very quickly downhill from there. And, you know, I think they couldn't get the numbers, but they'd invested into it. Like, we can carry on because there's no investment here. We just turn up and talk about F1. But it's like a real shame because they had brought something to the space that you didn't have in F1. You know, you've got so many like football watch along things, the kickoff and pitch side do it, and then Rory has a football podcast through the fellas as well.
Goldbridge,
like AFTV. There's so many, but there's not for F1. No. At least to like a high production level. Because I mean, look at the likes of, you know, even Goldbridge has got really good production, like the United Stand and Kickoff, like True Geordie's got brilliant production. And, you know, to this level of where it's like, oh, it's not just, you know, I could do, or we could do a watch along where we, you know, and I know we've done qualifying sometimes, but, you know, where we sit here and have a camera going and we're on Twitch or whatever, or Instagram Live or wherever. But like, to have that production level that they had, and for it to not work is a shame. And but the reason it hasn't worked is because F1 is boring. Like, and we've definitely sometimes been like, we'll turn up and be like, what the fuck are we gonna talk about? And it's like, you kind of just have to, you know, not now. Like now we're just sort of rounding up the season. But I mean, like a lot of race weeks where you'd be like, nothing happened. The race was shit. Max ran 25 seconds down the road. Mm. There was no real competition. And yeah, you know, you've had that for 2 years. So
I think this is where it gets really sad. I think, like you say about football with, you know, the football podcast, all of that, you're lucky because if you have a rubbish game 3 days later, you might have a really good game. You've also in that situation where you can do a watch along because 9 times out of 10, you've got one really good game, a couple of good games that week you can really focus on. Obviously, if we come out of a race where we've gone, you know, like, oh, I don't know, we've just gone to Miami or something, that's your race done. You've got to wait another 2 weeks before you have a race in the hope that something's good. What I find really sad is at the end of the 21 season, and I know I've said this before, but at the end of that 21 season, regardless of what happened to Lewis Hamilton, you had the world watching F1. Everyone was involved in F1. Yeah, yeah.
So, F1 was involved in F1.
No, the world was in F1. Did I say F1 was involved? Yeah. Oh, sorry. The world were involved in sucked into watching F1.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
It was a global, like, it just grown massively over that season. So to then have that 21 season and you come off the back of that, regardless of what happened at Abu Dhabi, you've got so many more eyes on it. So many people. I remember talking to friends who had never any interest in F1 who were kind of like, oh, you know what? I've watched this season. It's been really good. I'm looking forward to next year. They don't watch it anymore. And you've gone from that into a season which is, it's just killed it again.
And it's mad because it's like, I actually thought the fact that there were new regs coming in made it even more exciting. Because now I'm thinking like, okay, well, we're, you know, Lewis and Max are going to go at each other again. But what if there's another car up there fighting? Mm. You know, what if we've actually got like a few of them?
Well, we spoke about like a three-way battle, Ferrari, Mercedes, Red Bull. How exciting is that going to be? You didn't have any of it.
But it's just been bullshit.
And that's the sad thing is that when you look at the sport now, and what makes it worse is, I think the FIA and people in F1 have kind of gone, oh yeah, we're now this, people just want to come and watch. And people do go and watch.
Now, genuinely, the sport is washed. And I'll use another football analogy. This F1 is the Scottish Premier League.
Oh, interesting.
Every football fan that's not from Scotland will tell you that is a shit league. Mm. Why is it shit? Because Celtic win it. Every fucking year. Oh, well, Rangers won it the other year. Yeah, that's Carlos Sainz at Singapore. Do you know what I mean? It's, I don't want to watch that shit. I don't watch the SPL because it's shit. Because one team wins it every year. I want Premier League football. I want Championship football. I want a different winner every single week. I don't want to know what's going to happen.
You want Max Verstappen, you want Lewis Hamilton the following week, Lando Norris, Sainz, Leclerc, that's what you want.
Yeah, I want them all. I want Lewis to win at the end, that's fine. But come on, we can't have one team winning 22 races out of 23. Apologies if I'm out on the numbers. There was a lot of races this season. It was something like that. I think we had 23 races this season, didn't we? And then one of those drivers actually won like 20 of those races.
19.
Was it 19? Yeah. Okay, so there must have been, what, 20?
19.
There must have been 22 races this season, didn't there?
22 races, yeah.
20, because Carlos won one, Perez won two.
Yeah.
And then we had the sprint races, which were great, because then we could just watch Max win again. So instead of having to
we had Piastri.
Oh, yeah, brilliant. Instead of having to watch Max win once a weekend, sometimes they actually subjected us to watching him win twice in a weekend.
And to make it worse, he won the championship on a Saturday.
Did you hear the story? I saw Oscar Piastri on a podcast and he was being asked like, oh, do you go out and drink? And he's like, no, honestly, like not even really on a Sunday. Like I just, you know, he just doesn't. And then, they were like, oh, we had Max on or Christian on who was talking about Max. And on that Saturday in Qatar, that's when he had won. He won the championship there.
He did, yeah, because it was on the day that Oscar...
On the sprint race, yeah.
Yeah.
Max went out, got rat-arsed on the Saturday night, then came to the track on Sunday. Obviously, it was the race where, like, 95% of the drivers almost died. Max won it, completely hungover. And then Oscar was like, yeah, actually, that's true. I remember speaking to Max in the cool-down room about that. And I was like, great, like, he's just annihilated me and he's hungover. You know, I think that goes to show, firstly, how good the car is.
Yeah.
But secondly, how good Max is. Yeah. Like, come on, that is... To be impaired by a hangover, I don't care what you say, like, no matter who you are, I know he's only like 2 years younger than me, he would have been feeling that the next day. In that heat as well, oh my God, I don't know how he's not throwing up in his helmet. That's impressive to turn up and cook the rest of the field.
And also, it shows you how cool Piastri is. I really like Piastri from that. Yeah,
he's a good guy. He should drink more. It's good for you.
It's not
that cool if he doesn't drink on a Sunday after a race, I tell you that. It's probably because he's not winning enough, so he doesn't get champagne on the podium. Do better, that's what I said.
Do better. Right, do you want some other news? There's actually more news than I thought, to be fair.
Is there?
So, with Sergio Perez out of contract at the end of the 24 season and hardly impressing the team in the last year, they're trying to work out who is going to pair up with Max Verstappen come 2025. Because my gut feeling is it won't be Sergio Perez.
I don't think it'll be Sergio Perez in 2024.
Well, it has been agreed that he will be returning in 24.
Well, yeah, it had been agreed that me and my ex were going to stay together forever, but she left me. So, I don't know. Do you know what I mean? It doesn't mean anything. It just, he's going because he's underperforming. It makes no sense for them to keep him.
All right, so we're expecting Sergio Perez to return for 2024. Okay, let's just recap. Well,
some
that.
People are expecting. Okay, I think Sergio Perez is expecting to return in 2024. I don't think anyone else is expecting that.
Okay, so let's move on from that. So Danny Ric and Lando Norris have been linked this year. However, reports suggest that there is one other driver who is expected to take the Red Bull seat when Sergio Perez's contract ends in 2024. Do you know who it is?
Well, potentially Liam Lawson.
Nope.
I mean, I would say Yuki, but I just don't think he's going to get a look in from Red Bull.
This was a surprise to me.
Teo Pourchaire. Well, he's just won F2.
Damon Hill.
What?
No, I'm joking. Carlos Sainz.
Because
his contract... is up at the end of 24.
Do you know, that kind of makes sense. I think from everyone involved, right? Carlos Sainz is not as quick as Max Verstappen.
No.
But they've been teammates before.
Yep.
And we think Carlos Sainz is a very competent driver.
100%.
If you're asking me who I want in my team, Carlos Sainz or Sergio Perez, Carlos Sainz, all the way.
Yep.
That actually makes sense because Lando, in my opinion, is too good for Red Bull to agree to have him.
Is Lando okay
in the same team as Max? Do you know what I mean? Where it's kind of like Lando could compete. There could be friction there. Lando's a big ego. He's a big name in the sport.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it would be his opportunity to prove me wrong. That's for sure. And that's what I say about Lando. He hasn't proven it to me yet. But in that Red Bull, there's absolutely chance that he could take it to Max.
Yeah.
So I don't think that makes sense from a team dynamic. Danny Ric, like I say, best comeback since Jesus. I don't really understand what he's done to deserve this. Absolute 10 out of 10 bloke. He's had a decent F1 career. He's had what I consider a good career where, you know, most F1 drivers remember never win a race.
Yeah.
He's won 7. That's nice. That's good. But he made his own bed. Now he's got to sleep in it. Career's gone downhill. Is what it is. Never nice to see. it's a high turnover sport. We see people come and go all the time. Just because he's Danny Rick and he's loved and, you know, he really did have a lot of potential once, doesn't mean he's entitled to a seat now. Don't understand that. In my opinion, is he any better than Sergio Perez? Probably not. So, yeah, Carlos Sainz, I like it. You know, Yuki Tsunoda's not going to get a chance. Don't really know why. Liam Lawson, I mean, the fact that Danny Rick's been picked over him at AlphaTauri would probably suggest a bleak outlook for the future of his career at Red Bull.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Carlos Sainz, I like it.
Answer me this. Who's better, Carlos Sainz or Lando Norris?
Lando Norris.
Why?
I think Lando's a better driver than Carlos.
Even though he hasn't won a race and Carlos Sainz has?
Carlos Sainz had a very competitive Ferrari last year.
Yeah.
And...
well, I don't know. That McLaren, I would say, was more competitive in the second part of the season.
Last year?
Oh, sorry. You're talking about 20... Sorry, yes, okay. Yeah. When you say last year, I'm thinking of the season just gone.
No. That would be this year.
Okay, yeah.
2022, Carlos Sainz had a very competitive Ferrari. Yeah,
agree with you on that one.
That he... He was never part of that battle with Max.
No.
Charles was. Okay, Carlos won Silverstone, wasn't it? We know that Lewis would have won that race without the safety car shenanigans. Did nothing else really that season. Fair enough. The car sort of tapered off anyway.
Yep.
This season, yeah, he won Singapore. Great. And I actually think he's had a better season than Leclerc. Singapore, I think, is a funny one because it's kind of Monaco in the sense where if you get in front, you can probably stay in front. Like, the car behind you has to be significantly quicker in order to overtake you. It's still a great win, don't get me wrong. I'm not taking that away. But, like, am I going to use it as sort of... you know, maybe I'm contradicting myself here because I'm saying, well, those wins aren't, like, massively representative. And then I'm saying, well, Lando's not great because he hasn't got a win. I appreciate that. But I would personally rather Lando Norris than Carlos Sainz. That's just my fair opinion.
Touching on the Singapore win, I think that was a very, very smart win by him. He played the game. He brought them into DRS zone. He knew what he needed to do. He managed that very well.
And he had a great season. I want to make sure it's clear. I think Sainz is a really good driver.
Although he did finish behind Leclerc this year, which was ironic, really, considering we were adamant he was going to finish ahead on the final race. But
so, yeah, do you see what I mean? It's just...
yeah, I don't know. Let us know.
He's one of those drivers where, like, I feel like most of the time you can just rely on him to put in a decent shift.
He's a reliable driver.
You know, you look at maybe Sergio Perez, and the only thing you're expecting is for him to go out in Q1 or Q2, which is completely unacceptable in that car. It got to a point in the season where Perez getting into Q3 was a shock.
Yeah.
And that is unacceptable.
Let us know what your thoughts are. Who's better driver, Carlos Sainz or Lando Norris? Right, Max Verstappen's salary. Let's quickly touch on this. For this season has been revealed. And it shows a staggering bonus payment. Do you know how much?
Because like a win bonus?
Yeah, so let me just put this into context at the moment. So Verstappen's salary, according to the report, comes in at a total of $70 million. Which is...
yeah. I think he's on like 55 million euros or something.
55 million pounds.
Okay.
And a base salary of 45 million, which is 36 million pounds, with a 20...
Whoa. Where are we going here? Have you fucked this?
No. So...
start from the top.
So according to... his total comes to 75 million. 70 million.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
What's his salary? So his now salary, you're just telling me what the win bonus is.
Okay, yeah, I know. I've literally told it. I fucked it. So his base salary is £36 million.
Okay.
He got a bonus of £20 million.
For all the wins?
For his wins this year.
So wait, if I'm not mistaken, does that mean it's roughly like £1 million per win?
Pretty much.
That's not bad.
No.
He's got a good agent.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So I was quite impressed by that. I was like, that's quite a nice little bonus.
So he made £55 million this year?
Pretty much, yeah.
Pussy.
I won't get out of bed for that.
I make more in my sleep. Just buy my Forex course.
Is that he makes more in his sleep, and that's why he's sitting here on a Wednesday evening actually doing a podcast with me.
Yeah, it's a sad little life, really.
The Spanish...
What about the Spanish? What have they done now?
I was going to say Grand Prix.
Oh.
So reports suggest that in 2026, they are going to be having the Madrid Grand Prix. Don't know if you've seen the reports on this.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
Did we not speak about this last week?
No, we haven't.
Or the week before?
No. The only reason you're saying this is because we did a TikTok on it.
Oh, yes. Maybe that's it. Yeah. Yeah.
So apparently the Madrid Grand Prix is coming from 2026. Barcelona will also be in that year. But however, reports are suggesting from 2027, Barcelona will be gone off the calendar.
Can they just fuck off with the street tracks?
Yeah, to be fair...
Just piss off.
We've had too many street circuits. And bring back some classics. I mean, why do we need another street circuit? We don't.
We really don't. Every new circuit that pops up in the States is a fucking street circuit.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia, street circuit. It's like, come on, can we just... Why can't we go back to Hockenheim? Sepang. I know China's coming back next year, thank God. But like...
I just
don't... All we're doing is introducing all these bullshit new tracks.
I quite like Barcelona.
Yeah. Isn't it ironic? They finally make it a good racing track again by getting rid of that stupid chicane.
And then they get rid of it. Yeah, I don't quite understand it because from what we know, yeah, it seems like a done deal with the Madrid Grand Prix. And don't get me wrong, I don't mind new tracks coming on. It's fine. But I'd like to bring back some of the originals. You know, some of the classics.
Yeah,
I would like to go to South Africa. I think that would be cool to go back there. Bring back Hockenheim.
Hockenheim.
I was about to say Hakkinen, but then it came out. Hockenheim. I'd love to bring back that. You got Portugal.
Yeah, Portimao. That's a lovely track.
Lovely track.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That's what we need more of. We need more proper racing tracks.
Yes.
Like, tracks that were designed... for racing, not a street that has been converted. You know, we've got more than enough of them. Let's try and reel it off the top of our heads. Street tracks.
Baku,
Monaco. Obviously, Monaco is iconic, right? And Baku's actually...
But we still say, and for one of our first podcasts, we would be better if you took away the barriers.
It would be better if you took away the barriers.
So, Baku, Monaco.
Las Vegas.
Miami.
Saudi Arabia.
What one am I missing? Oh.
You just know there's going to be like an obvious one. Singapore.
Singapore, yeah. Oh.
I mean, yo, we're already at like, what, 25% of the races almost?
Yeah, so... Jeddah, Baku, Miami, Monaco, Singapore, Las Vegas. Yeah.
But that's six tracks. That's six
tracks.
We don't
need any more, surely.
I know. Some of them are actually... Like Monaco, we accept, is not a racing track.
No.
It's just Monaco. Singapore, I don't want to talk shit about Singapore.
See, I don't mind Singapore.
I don't, but again, it's not a track that provides amazing racing. I think it's provided some amazing races.
Yeah.
Over the years, but it's not necessarily... What I'm trying to say is I think we've got enough of them.
Yeah. My favourite on there, out of all of them, I would say...
dog shit.
Miami is awful. My favourite is probably Jeddah. Or Jeddah or Vegas.
I think Jeddah. Yeah. I think because Jeddah as a track is sick.
It's cool.
And it does provide good opportunities for overtaking. But yeah, like can we just keep it there? Mm. You know, if we're gonna start introducing new tracks, how about we stop building them? Right? And we actually use the existing ones that are really good, that like fans have always loved, and that drivers have always loved racing round and have always provided good races. Why don't we just go back to them, use them? Because by the way, there's more tracks in the world than just like we reel off, like Sepang, Hockenheim,
yeah,
Portimao. You know, there are countless tracks that we could go to that are actual racing tracks. My problem is that street tracks, the track is designed around the street in order to best accompany a race.
Yeah.
A racetrack is designed around the race. Do you know what I mean? How do we make the best racetrack? A street track is, how do we make the best racetrack out of what we got?
See,
it's the difference between making dinner and going to the cupboard and seeing what you got versus going to the supermarket and buying all the ingredients that you need.
Did you see that post I put up the other day about having 52 races a year?
Yeah, that's too many.
Oh, 100% too many. But there's some cool tracks
on there. Even I want to break from F1 sometimes.
Yeah, there was some cool tracks on there. How did we get into this conversation? Oh, Madrid.
Yeah, and that... The roundabout, there's a fucking roundabout in it. I thought it was a joke at first, so when I initially saw it, I was like, it's a parody account. It wasn't.
No.
There's actually half a roundabout in it. Which, do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Go to the supermarket, man. Buy the ingredients.
I'd rather keep Barcelona.
Yeah,
in same. All honesty. I think it'd be much better. Finally, talking about news, the FIA gala. If you don't know what we're talking about, so last week, at the end of each season, the FIA do a gala to present all the, you know, the winners from like F2, all of this stuff, F1, present to them and do an award ceremony. Obviously, we had a Susie Wolf incident a week before leading up to that, and we've touched on this before, and
yeah, and head over to our Instagram and TikTok if you want to hear
a bit more about that. But it was interesting because Lewis Hamilton turned up, and it is literally like, what analogy could you use for this? Because it's going into someone's house and taking a shit on their floor.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't really interested in being there. Let's be honest, if you had the 2021 situation happen to you, could you ever forgive this organisation that sort of reprimanded him for not turning up to the gala in 2021?
Yep.
I mean, you know, Lewis has constantly had to battle the FIA anyway, with all different stuff and, you know, how like they do seem to personally go after him a lot of the time, like with the jewellery incident and then trying to suppress political statements and stuff like that when, you know, granted, this is not something Lewis has always done, by the way. This has only really started in the last 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
But it's always like, they never went after Seb doing all the environmental stuff. Which, by the way, is just as political, if this is how you want to look at it, as supporting gay rights or Black Lives Matter. But Lewis always had a hard time. And, you know, that Seb's cause is unbelievable and the things Lewis stands for, unbelievable. But Seb didn't get a hard time.
No.
Which is right. I think we all agree. He's standing up for a good thing. Then Lewis Hamilton all of a sudden gets it in the neck for trying to stand up for the human rights of gay people in a country where they would be slaughtered for it. looking at Saudi Arabia, for example, where he wore the rainbow helmet. Now,
Qatar, wasn't it?
I think he wore it in Qatar, Saudi.
Did he wear it in Saudi?
Yeah. So it is bizarre. So you think, like, why is he going to want to go to these idiots and be involved with people that just make his life difficult and just disrespect him?
Well, this is what Lewis had to say. And he actually said this at the gala. He dressed cool. He didn't wear a suit. He said, a disappointing week, really, to see that the governing body of our sport has sought to question the integrity of one of the most incredible female leaders we've ever had in our sport with Susie Wolf, without questioning, without any evidence, and then just saying sorry at the end, and that's just unacceptable. Hamilton then said, there is a constant fight to really improve diversity and inclusion with the industry, but it seems that there are certain individuals in the leadership within the FIA that every time we try to make a step forward, they try to pull us back, and that has to change. I mean, he did not hold back.
Well, because Lewis makes a fair point. It's like that time I got punched in the face and then the guy said sorry because he got the wrong person. True story.
Did that happen?
Yeah, I got punched in the face and I was like, what the hell? And he's like, oh, sorry, wrong guy.
Well, it's been, but did I ever tell you about that time where I got slapped by a woman in the high street?
No. What did you do?
So this was 8-9 years ago. I got out of my car. This woman came over to me, slapped me in the face and said, I can't remember, it was Jake or Josh or something. That's what you get, Josh or Jake, for, you know, cheating on my daughter. And I was like, what? My name's Matt. Oh, and he ran off. True story. Proper just slapped me in the face, thought I was someone different and I cheated on her daughter. Never met her daughter. And my name wasn't...
Oi, I mean, let's be honest. You struggled to find a girlfriend, let alone get a girlfriend and then be able to cheat on her with someone else.
Still a shock that I'm married, yeah.
That would never happen. If she knew you, she would have felt embarrassed. I cannot believe I thought you did that.
Well, and on 3 days later, I got hit by a guy in a car in Morrison's car park, you know, the underground car park.
Well, he mow you down.
Well, he let me go and then put his foot on the accelerator. I ended up on his bonnet, this elderly guy, and then he turned around to me and said, why'd you hit me? On your fucking bonnet.
Old people, Morrison's far apart for you.
So yeah.
But that is essentially...
What are we talking about?
Well, you know, what the FIA did was light a fire with absolutely no prior knowledge to the situation, no like consideration for the repercussions of what they say, no possible consideration for actually the reputational damage it could do. And then they just came out and just said, sorry. It's like, well, that doesn't cut it, does it?
No.
Like, surely they have a responsibility to maybe carry out some checks in private.
Yeah. Before you go after someone with...
Yeah, and then if they have some credible evidence or knowledge, then conduct a legitimate investigation that doesn't become some media zoo where people are just like, eyeballing it and waiting for the next, I don't know, scratch of the arse in the gorilla's cage or something. It was just, they sort of like said all this shit, hung both Toto and Susie out to dry, and then just said, oh yeah, sorry, no, we won't investigate that.
Did you see Lewis Hamilton just bypass shaking the hand?
Yeah. I can't remember his name, but the head of the FIA. Do you know what the funniest thing to come out of this FIA gala?
The trophy?
Huh?
The trophy?
No, but he did also leave his trophy there.
Yeah, I'll get on to that in a minute, because that's an even funnier story. I don't know if you know what
the drama of apparently...
It didn't... Well, should I talk about it now? So
apparently Lewis Hamilton, he left it there.
Yeah, Lewis Hamilton got a trophy for coming in third place. I mean, whoop-de-doo, like Christ. I'm sure he'd be really happy with that. So at the end of it, Lewis Hamilton was... From what we initially heard, gave it to a fan, said, this guy said, can I take it? And he went, yeah, take it, whatever. However, it transpires that didn't happen and Lewis Hamilton was told to leave it that and they would deliver it to Mercedes headquarters.
Well, yeah, so I think he thought the guy was an FIA official or something, didn't he?
And he was going to send a trophy to the FIA, to the Mercedes headquarters. That didn't happen because this guy then took the trophy.
Took it home.
Posted it all on Twitter. And Mercedes then did a post saying, we're looking for this trophy that is ours, that we need to come back.
Yeah.
And then the guy ended up posting a couple of tweets going, oh, this is a massive misunderstanding. I said, I didn't realise, I thought I could take it because he said I could have it, which obviously Lewis Hamilton said, yes, take it, to then send it to them. So as far as I know, the guy sent it back. I don't know if that's...
I wonder if he got Mercedes to cover the cost. Because I'd be like, this weighs quite a bit. So international shipping.
I did steal it, but would you mind paying for it to collect it?
Well, I'd say, look, this is a misunderstanding. Not my fault. Lewis said I could have it. I'm not covering the cost of this. It's going to cost like $120 to send back. Fuck that. Still not the funniest thing to happen, though. Funniest thing to come out of the FIA gala. You ready?
Yes.
Sergio Perez tweeted. It's like pictures of him at the gala holding it. Yeah. It leads with, second best in the world. No, you're not. You came second. There's a very big difference. You're not even 10th best in the world. How has he got the audacity to come on here and say he's the second best in the world?
Did he post that on Instagram?
Here it is on Twitter. Second best in the world. Had some rough times this season, but the important thing is we never gave up. You look like you gave up. The reason that you only just scraped second is because you gave up.
That is great.
How is he tweeting that?
Oh, that is... I mean, yeah, you've got to be... Yeah, he did. Christ.
Do you know what? It's so bad that he's not even the second best Red Bull driver.
What were some of the comments? Second best? Not really. You finished the season in second, but your driving is more around 10th of the season. Be real, Checo. Haters going to hate, but he will still be in second in the championship.
Yeah, which is true. That doesn't make him second best in the world.
No. I don't know. Not second best, but number two in the world. Who else can say that this year? In years to come, all people remember in 2023 was a higher place finish than 2022. I've learned a lot from you this year. That determination, hard work will see you through. Have a great break. What?
If Sergio Perez has taught you anything...
Respect, champ. No, you're not. He wasn't a champ. He didn't win.
Yeah, it's... You know, I don't want to make Checo's... He's not listening anyway. You know, he's had a tough year. Not second best in the world, though. But yeah, that was my favourite thing to come out of that.
Well, that kind of leads on to recapping the season. Let's recap the season.
Sergio Perez on his 2024 ambitions. I already finished second, and my main interest is to do one better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that would read better if he just got rid of the last word and his main interest is to just do one, because that's more likely. He's not doing better, is he, than second?
Let's recap the season.
Terrible.
What was your highlight?
Honestly, I don't have one. Highlight Lewis getting pole in Hungary.
Yeah, that was definitely up there. For me...
Low light was the first corner of Hungary in the race. He dropped from P1 to P4.
Mine's up there with Lewis. Seeing how well Piastri has done this year has been a highlight for me. I mean,
he still hasn't done as good as Lando.
Okay, no, but as a rookie, I mean, I know people going, oh, he's up there with Lewis Hamilton's rookie season. It's not even close, but
yeah, it's really not close.
It's really nice to see a rookie come into the sport in their first season and deliver, if that makes sense.
In fairness, though, he is also the first rookie in a long time to actually have a decent car.
Yeah.
Well, actually, maybe that's not true. Alex Albon.
Yeah, I mean, he went straight into a...
He went into a Red Bull. But... Did you see Alex Albon's interview on... It was on a podcast. Was it on High Performance?
Yeah.
Not that I watch it, because I can't stand it, but where he was like, if you actually look at his net finishing position, he outperformed Checo this year.
Yeah.
Or yeah. Like net qualifying position or something, like he outperformed in that 2020 season what Checo achieved this season.
The difficulty is, I think if Alex Albon was in there now, he'd probably still be in a seat. But because yeah. they didn't, they have Max Verstappen winning the championship and they're having a dominant car, he was more noticed that he wasn't delivering. That makes sense.
Well, yeah, because, you know, Albon was poor, but I don't think he was as poor as what Checo has been this season.
No.
And I don't care that Checo got second. It's not impressive that you narrowly got second
yeah.
in a car that won 21 out of 22 races. Yeah. It's just not.
So you're saying highlight Lewis Hamilton pole. Any yeah. other highlights? Mind Texas. Another one for me was the Williams, seeing the progression from Williams. Obviously, seeing go. I mean, I know when they go, oh, they finished seventh. But for them, that's a big upgrade this year. And seeing Alex yeah. Albon take that Williams further, I think is promising. And it's nice to actually see Williams back moving on the right direction.
Yeah, I think watching Alex Albon this season was a bit of a highlight, I guess. He was a pleasure to watch.
On and off the track. I like watching Albon.
Sounds a bit stalkerish.
But, okay, I like watching him on TV.
It's other than that, look, it was such a shit season. I'll be surprised if anyone has more than like 5 highlights, unless you're a Red Bull fan.
Then you have a lot.
But yeah, I mean, it's just, again, it's not even as a Red Bull fan, it must have got boring at points.
Yeah. Is there any other highlights?
What the hell happened?
Australia was quite a good race.
Yeah, Australia was quite a good race with it, but it wasn't really a highlight. Do you know what I mean? There wasn't.
No, I'm literally just picking at straws here, mate. I'm just trying to find anything.
There's nothing. You know, there's
Ocon, Monaco.
I could not care less. Like, I genuinely could not care less.
Introduction of Vegas.
No, like the Vegas race surprised me. Was anticipating it to be bad. Was really good. So that was maybe nice, like a nice surprise.
Look at us. In the end of final episode of the year. And it's really hard to find any positives in this year.
Well, it was rubbish. I think how we should round this episode off is well done for sticking with us through this.
100%.
Because we have struggled to commit to this a lot of times with the way this season has played out.
Right. The biggest winners and the biggest losers. Let's finish on this. So biggest winners, obviously, Red Bull, Max Verstappen.
Well, yeah, not Red. I would say Max Verstappen.
Okay, Max Verstappen. I don't think there's really any other winners. Actually, McLaren. McLaren, they made big strides.
Max Verstappen, Lewis Hamilton, McLaren. Biggest winners this season. You could argue Fernando Alonso, but the drop-off that Aston Martin had is like too incredible that it doesn't count.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
Biggest losers. Also, you could argue Williams, big winners, but only Albon. Albon had an unbelievable season. Biggest losers, Alfa Romeo, Haas.
Yeah.
Haas had a terrible season. Alfa Romeo had a terrible season. But interestingly, Bottas actually carried them again this season.
Yeah. Joel scored the same amount of points as he did last year.
Yeah. Which you could say, well, that's kind of impressive because he did really bad last year and the car was worse this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, he just did really bad this last year and he's just stayed consistent with that. I think I'll be surprised if he's in the sport after next year if he continues like this, personally.
Who? Zhou.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. I can't see how he needs a big year next year.
Yeah, because Bottas has outscored him both years. Again, Bottas was their main point scorer this season. And Alfa Romeo had a horrible season, don't get me wrong. But when it gets to that, so Bottas, I know this might sound little, but with the amount of points that they're getting, this is quite significant over the year.
Yep.
So Bottas got 10, Zhou got 6. But that's like, you know, he's got like 40% less than him. And yeah, it just wasn't good enough from Alfa Romeo in general. But it's just another season where Zhou is off yep. Bottas. And so I think Alfa Romeo, horrible, horrible season. Haas, horrible, horrible season.
Sargeant, horrible season.
Sargeant, Hall of Shame performance.
How is he still in the sport? I do not know. Yeah. But anyway. But yeah, I agree with you. Haas, Alfa Romeo, Sargeant. Sergio Perez. Yeah.
I know he got P2, but there's absolutely no way he is laying in bed at night thinking, I'm so proud of that. I'm so proud of that P2.
He is. I guarantee you he is.
Well, he's fucking deluded
yep.
if he is.
Obviously, De Vries had a shocking year. Obviously, out of the sport.
Yeah.
I would say another winner, Lawson.
Yeah, Lawson. Lawson had a good little cameo.
I say that because he came into the sport as a rookie, thrown in there, and he was consistent. He finished races. And I know that sounds strange as a driver. You expect to finish races. But there's a lot of rookies who come into the sport who crash out, make mistakes. We've seen that with Mazepin over the years. We've seen that with Sargeant.
After the hype of Danny Ric as well, like, don't forget he had to come in after, like, it had been so hyped that Danny Ric was yeah. back. So it was like kind of like big shoes to fill.
Yeah. Do you know he has a YouTube channel now?
Danny Ric?
No, Lawson.
Oh. Well, I was either going to say Lawson or Danny Ric.
But yeah, let us know who were your winners and who were your losers for the 2023 season. That has been us.
That has been us.
That has been us. Do you know what? Surprisingly, that was a longer episode than I thought it was going to be.
How long was it?
It's currently an hour and 12 minutes.
Wow. That is impressive.
That is. Considering when we first started, we were like, this is literally going to be like half hour.
Yeah, like what the hell are we going to talk about?
But hopefully you've enjoyed this episode. If you have, leave us a like. And leave us a rating on Spotify. That'd be great.
Leave
5 stars,
like.
Please. Yeah. Go and check us out on all social media. I just want to say thank you for all your support this year, because it's been really great. And hopefully you will stick with us for next year. We do actually have a lot of exciting stuff coming next year. Obviously, we've got a lot of content out on TikTok, which we'll be doing, and Instagram over the winter. And also next year, we plan to do more TikTok lives, get more interaction with you guys. So check us out on those. But yeah, we hope you have a very Merry Christmas and a great new year. We'll be back in the new year with the 2024 season. Luke, Merry Christmas. Have a good new year. And yeah, we shall see you next year. Bye-bye.